Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from gorgeous Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about establishing trust.
I trust you.
I trust you, too. I went, oh, why is
why
that?
Why is that? I can tell you why.
So can I.
In the meat of the show.
Perfect. Before we get to the meat, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and as you're listening to us, please drop your questions into the comments section below.
Joe asks, the APN mapped on the GIS doesn't match the property location. The GIS is at least a mile away from where the property says, or from where everyone says the property is located. The legal description is vague, Shadow Valley, quote unquote. The deed is from 1932. And states, the property was devised to first party under the last will and testament of J.H. House Wright, to which reference is hereby made containing 48 acres, more or less. Isn't that hilarious? Title agent says the legal description and deed are too vague and will not issue title insurance without a survey, which is about $4,500.
Yeah.
It appears that everybody in town knows where the Gibson property is, except GIS. That's hilarious.
This is a real world.
This is true.
This happens.
This happens.
Reality.
My concern is that I spend $4,500 on the survey and the property isn't what I've seen, or some other issue arises. I feel confident I can double my money even with the purchase of a survey. Acquisition price is $14,562. I would list it for about $44,900.
Which means that's not retail because we know Joe.
Right.
And Joe doesn't make mistakes.
How would you approach this? Sorry for the novel. Any insight would be appreciated. Thanks.
With that economic situation, acquisition price of 14, wholesale price of 45,000, which means it's probably worth 80. And it's 48 acres. I think I would get a survey.
Yeah.
And that seems really expensive for a survey. So there must be some type of it's not
true.
Flat issue. What I would do in the real world is I would find somebody to do on Upwork. I would find somebody to do based on the legal description, not the GIS and not the county. GIS is county driven. Take the legal description and map it out, which is called, I would call it a desk survey, a non-field survey, where that person who's very qualified on Upwork, probably for a few $100, can with confidence say, this is about the perimeter of the property. Please don't go out there and build on that based on what I'm saying, because you need a survey, a site survey for that. But I would spend $800 or $900 just to find that. See what it matches up to. More importantly, does what the desk survey that you hired out match with what the people in town think the property is? That would give me a huge amount of confidence. Then I would actually probably order the real survey. This is, you know how Jill and I always say, forget it, move on. This is not a forget it and move on situation. This is real money. Mm-hmm. When we say forget it and move on, it's like we're going to buy a property for $1,500 and sell it for $6,000.
Right.
Chances are you're in so deep now that it's not worth $44,000 at all. It's worth $400,000. Because I've seen, and this is that's happened to Jill and I, not that infrequently. This is keeping everybody from buying this property, whoever has gotten this far.
It's very true.
This is cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool stories.
I love it.
Man, this, in my opinion, parlays right into what we're talking about. Somebody in our group, Joe, who we know now, based on the last live event, is asking an incredibly intelligent question. Master's degree level stuff. We just spent a weekend with him and 32 other people talking about things like this. Now I trust him. Let's parlay that into the meat of the show.
I love it.
Today's topic, establishing trust. This is the meat of the show.
As Steven said, we just spent an awesome weekend, last weekend, with many, many, many of our very successful members. Had a great time. And we were told this again. And part of the reason that they're with us is the trust. And so I'm glad that we're covering this topic, because establishing trust in your world, in your business, with your peers, with your customers is huge. Huge. It will, if you don't have trust, obviously it could sink your business. It will sink your business. So how do you establish trust? I wrote down three, two things. Well, one is we were told it recently. It takes years to establish trust, and it's years of doing the right thing. That's really what I think it is. And we are always considering outcomes to make sure that we're doing the right thing. It's very true that we haven't talked about it much recently, but it came up. We don't talk about it a lot, but it came up recently where I'm reminded by Stevens' quote, and I love it. It's just, even if it costs money, you got to do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
Because it will pay off. Who we are on social media and in person and on the show, they all match up, by the way. This is really us. So that's another way you have trust. If you stopped us on the strand, the way that we talk to you and the way that we talk right now, you're exactly the same. Yeah. Could you imagine? We're not phony. Don't be phony. Don't be one person in business and then be another person in real life. You know, be that same person all the time. That's another way that you establish trust. What do you think?
I think that there's a lot of people listening to this and they're saying some version of this to themselves. Oh, well, that's great, Jill. You guys have done 15,000 deals, almost 16,000 deals.
Right.
There's pretty much not a question that you can't answer. You have credibility.
It's easy for you to say.
So, and all that's true. So the best way to establish trust is to be within reason, loud about what you've accomplished, but not in a pompous way. Like, yeah, let me help you too. We just did it. So the big question is, that's fantastic, Jill. I just started. How do I do it?
How do I establish
trust? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Do you want to know the answer?
Absolutely.
Okay. The answer is, if you don't know, you say you don't know. You don't guess and shoot from the hip. If you're just brand new and you're trying to establish trust, say with you're selling a property and someone asks you a question, you really don't know. Can I park an RV there? I'm not sure. You know what? It's okay to say, I don't know, and give them the tools or what you do know to go find the answer. Or if you want to, I'm just saying you're brand new, maybe you want to learn for yourself, it's okay to say, you know what, Mr. Smith, I'll find out. I'll call you back. And go call the county and find out if you can park an RV there,
right,
and for how long and what the rules are. That's how you, now when you call that guy back, you have that guy's trust.
Here's another way.
You didn't say, oh, sure, yeah, oh, gosh, leave it there for 3 years, and the guy buys the property and finds out, not only can you not park an RV there for 3 years, you can't park there for more than 1 week, or it's not even allowed at all. That's how you don't establish trust.
Another way you can establish trust is surround yourself with the right people. In a lot of cases, especially with the way the internet is, that doesn't cost anything. Here's a few examples. Guy graduates from college, or a woman graduates from college as an aerospace engineer, and with a resume in their hand and a suit on. Great. Congratulations. You're just another schmo. Oh, wait, but NASA just hires you. So you go from a schmo with a resume in their hand to an associate at NASA. Instant credibility and instant trust there. It happens, and I'm not picking on aerospace. You know, I was a schmo with a resume in my hand until KPMG hired me, and then I was a whole different thing. You know, just because of that hat that the golfer wears. So surround yourself or get yourself in with a group that really carries some momentum with it already. Jump on the right train. You know, Land Academy, our group's like that. You know, we're out there with land investors. If you go on to LandWatch or any of that, it cracks me up every time we look at real estate to get comparison values. It's like, oh, that guy's a member. All the property that's listed, oh, that's a member, that's a member, that's a member, that's a member. You know, after a while, if the 80% of the property that you're trying to price through regular for sale property is all Land Academy members, that's some serious credibility that this thing works.
It's true. I was going to bring that up. But since you brought that up, I was going to remind the listeners who are our members that we have a little logo that if you ever want to put it back on there, just reach out to my team at support@landacademy.com and they'll send it to you that says, you know, certified, you know, Land Academy member. And that kind of makes a difference. We've had just what you're saying is totally true. I've had land buying customers track us down to ask about our members to make sure that this is legit.
Yeah.
Do we know them? Because they see us as credible, just like you're saying. They see us as credible. So if I say, oh my goodness, yes, I know that guy. I know Joe.
Right.
You know, in Atlanta. Absolutely. They're going to go, okay, now I trust him.
Sales is out. This whole dress up and be the salesy showman. So not even that long ago, maybe 20 years ago, it was very appropriate for, you know, the generation before Jill and I. They get put a suit on in the morning and present themselves to the world. And they shine their shoes and drive a nice car. And that, in that culture and that back in that time, that was how you lent yourself credibility. You know, you weren't clear, you know, there were people like that. And then there were people that didn't put suits on and went to jobs that didn't require that. And so that was all before the internet. Maybe it was two generations ago.
Dress for success. Remember hearing that?
Yeah. And all of that. That's a bunch of malarkey, you know?
I know.
Everybody wears jeans to work. If you don't, you should. And it's just about what comes out of your mouth and how you present yourself. And is this reality based or not? When people do that now, I even see older people. I'm not picking on older people, just generation before. I'm old. Generation before
me.
They still approach things like that. Like they think they need to sell you. They'll sit there and say, have you had a chance to really, really understand? Well, you haven't. Oh, and they have a line for everything you say. I'm like, just get out of my way. Nothing will crush trust faster than the salesmanship crap. So.
That's true. I don't like that.
Nobody does.
Yeah. That's true. That's a way to not establish trust. Walk up and start selling somebody on something. Don't do that.
A great way to establish trust, and I learned this from my sister, is just word of mouth, pure word of mouth. We have half the members we have are because they talk to other members.
It's true.
And other members are like, oh yeah, those guys are for real.
It's true.
They're for real. We buy and sell a lot of property. Or, oh yeah, they're for real. We haven't gotten to it yet, but you know, that stuff's real.
It's true.
We have some pretty high-powered people in our membership group, people that are buying large commercial properties for a living that have been doing it for years and years, but they just never understood how to send out mail, the right way to do it. They're in our group for that reason. That's some pretty serious credibility.
You're right.
They lend credibility to us because they're part of our group.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about that stuff enough, which is probably why people trust us.
Yeah. That's
There's
good.
two other companies out there that directly have membership type groups to buy and sell land. One is Mark Podolsky and one is Jack Bosch. And I would encourage you to review along the lines of establishing trust, look at both of their internet presence and how they present themselves and you decide.
Okay.
The pause was intentional.
Okay.
Join us next time where we discuss. You know what's interesting? Oh, I was going to blame some stuff on the producer, but it's really my fault.
Oh.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we discuss there's no real place for emotion in real estate investment.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. All right, did I do it again?
Do what again?
Jill thinks I pronounce discuss like disgust.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on it that time. You're okay. There's a few times that I think you really are saying disgust.
By the end of the show?
Yeah. Are we disgust? Yeah, that's awesome. Share the fun by hitting the subscribe button on YouTube to stay up to date on our podcasts, or if you are new to our channel, like us and comment on what you would like to see in future shows. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.